Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1, listen to Talk with Marie Live. Get ready for some music, books, social events, and special guests. Here's your host, Marie.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. Thank you for tuning in. Today is a show of first. We are celebrating the first Media Literacy Week in the U.S. It started on November 2nd, and so today I have the honor of interviewing the Executive Director of the National Association for Media Literacy Education. And so there are tons of activities going on. There are PSAs. So we have a lot of information to share for you. So thank you for tuning in. And make sure you are tweeting this on all your social media and share this with your friends. There are plenty of opportunities to get involved. But first, let's chat with Michelle. Hello, Michelle.
Thank you
for being on the call.
Hi, and thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. I'm sure you've been busy. How have you been
celebrating?
A little bit, yeah. This is probably like one of the busiest weeks to actually catch you with all the activities going on.
But it's kind of awesome because it's, you know, the response to Media Literacy Week has been much greater than we had anticipated, and so we are really, really pleased.
That's awesome. I've been seeing a lot of coverage from our local TV station to articles online, and so it's a perfect time to really get people energized about this movie. So I was telling my friends how you have such a great background in film, and then you've been the executive director of the organization. So how did you make that transition from film school to being in TV production to now running a nonprofit organization?
Well, as you stated, I started in production, and I started my career at Nickelodeon in children's TV, and I was really passionate about making content for kids, and I think the path that I was on, I really started moving toward a more corporate role, and it wasn't one that I was that excited about. I loved the company and I loved working there, but I wanted to do more hands-on production. So I went freelance for a while, and then really, I just started to really think a little bit more about the effects that media was having on children. So it became very interesting to me to not only be making content, but wondering about what is the impact that it has on kids. And so I went back to school. I went back to NYU to really dig a little deeper into media effects. And at the same time, I had my own children, which kind of changes everything, and started doing some nonprofit work. And it just really, one thing led to another, and it was kind of a really great coming together of a lot of different passions, especially because media literacy, it used to be very much about consumption, you know, because it used to be a pretty passive activity to consume media. But certainly with the advent of social media and with the fact that we're all content creators now, because every time we post on Instagram or tweet, we're joining the content creators. I find that now even more the production side of my life is coming back into it, because really a lot of people are starting to see that one of the best ways to teach media literacy is through actual creation of media.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing, because I grew up, I'm not that young, but I grew up sort of more being critical about media. And then I'm always thinking, and then what? You know, so you criticize it. Now you may develop a critical eye and ear in ways of watching TV, listening to music. But then I think there's power in creating alternative media, even though you're a mainstream consumer.
I think there's a lot of power in that, and technology is amazing in that way. It's such a creative tool. We just have to be smart about it, and really, one of the things that we namely always talks about is the idea that, you know, the purpose of media literacy is, you know, critical thinking, active communication, and effective communication and active citizens. So we're not only looking at thinking about it critically, we're also looking at, like, how does it How does it impact us? Like, how do we pawn it? Which is really important. So it's one thing to be critical and skeptical, and that's really important, and that's like a really good first step. But we also then need to translate it into our actions and the way we communicate out. And, you know, that varies from everything from, again, if you're on social media to, you know, what are you sharing? What are you sharing with the community? Do you know if it's true? Is it credible? Like, all of those things are involved with media literacy.
That's great. So I've learned since all the notice have been going out about Media Literacy Week that Canada has been at the forefront of the media literacy movement. And so they've been doing this for the past 10 years, and I feel like we're catching up. So tell us, how did media literacy in the U.S. came about?
Well, you know, media literacy in the U.S. has been around for quite some time. And, you know, my organization has been around in some formation for over 20 years. And I think that's important to note, because if you think about 20 years ago, you know, the people that founded our organization really were, you know, trendsetters. It was like they knew that this was coming. Like, they really saw in the future and said, you know, we really need to start paying attention to the literacy needs around all forms of communication and make sure we're expanding it to all media. And so media literacy has been around, and there's actually, you know, an amazing amount of fabulous work going on in the U.S. The biggest difference between Canada and the U.S. is that, you know, they have, for lack of a better word, like mandates. You know, media literacy is part of their conversation in education. You know, if you grow up in Canada, you know what media literacy is. It's part of your school, your schooling, and you have to have certain skills before you graduate. And that is incredibly inspiring to me, and they really have done really good work. And we've always tried to partner with them over the last few years with Media Literacy Week, because they really do such a great job. The challenge that we have in the States, though, is that we really, education is state by state, and in some ways district by district. So media literacy in the U.S. still really depends on individual, passionate teachers and schools and universities and departments within those universities. So it's still very dependent on these individual educators that kind of self-appoint themselves as media literacy educators. So that is a little challenging, you know, when you're really trying to expand it from coast to coast. And I feel strongly, and as does my organization, that we really need it in every one of our schools. You know, this isn't something that should be considered an extra. It's not an elective. It's an essential life skill today. And so it's challenging. You know, I am hopeful, and simply based on the response that I've received with Media Literacy Week and the amount of teachers and the amount of organizations around the country that I didn't even know of that have just come out of the woodwork so passionate about media literacy. Like, I'm really hopeful for where it's going in this country, but we definitely have a lot of work to do, and we have to have larger conversations with school districts and with at the state level to really look at how it can be integrated within the school day. And I think it's really important to note that, you know, when we look at media literacy, we're not talking about it as an extra subject necessarily. We're really talking about it being kind of a way to teach. You know, how do we train our teachers to use media literacy to effectively, you know, effectively teach social studies, effectively teach science? You know, you can, you know, media literacy is really a way to teach. It's not a subject. So I think that, you know, if we can do a better job in our teacher training universities, and if we can do a better job to, you know, give teachers the professional development around these skills so that they can share them with their students, I think, you know, we would be in a much better place. Obviously, teachers are asked a lot these days, and they have a lot of work that they have to get done on a daily basis, and I have the utmost respect for teachers. I feel like it's one of the hardest jobs in the world, and the people that I meet are so passionate about education. So I think we just have to, you know, show them that media literacy is a tool, and it's a tool that can really make their teaching even more effective. So that's the stuff we think about it, namely.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. That was one of the things I was going to ask you in terms of, you know, a lot of schools and organizations, like they have very specific sort of programs that they do. So some programs that say after school focused on sports or science or even art and technology, but they may not necessarily integrate media as part of their program or even training. So do you still get some resistance from, let's say, parents or others out there in terms of the value and how critical media literacy is as part of our everyday learning within the classroom? And I love one of the things on your website, you mentioned formal and informal settings. So a lot of time we think we have to go to school to learn this, but we can learn it in so many different ways.
Yeah,
are you still
fighting? I don't get a lot of resistance. If anything, it's the opposite. When we do sit down with educators or parents or, you know, just regular everyday people, when I start talking about the work that we do, it makes a lot of sense to people. Like, well, of course, you know, when you look at, you know, how much time we spend on basics of literacy and how good we are at teaching kids to read and how we don't spend a lot of time teaching students how to read the media, people are usually pretty enthusiastic. The resistance that we get is really, you know, really based on what I said before, the amount of expectations we have on teachers today. So, for example, when we look at kind of trying to look at legislation within school systems and states, so there's an organization called Media Literacy Now that's doing a lot of policy work where it's like, how can we get state education law change to support media literacy as some kind of mandate, and whether it's in schools, whether it's just in teacher training programs. So there's a lot of that kind of advocacy being done. So the resistance that you might get on that level is that initial knee-jerk reaction of, no, 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 we cannot ask teachers to do more. And so that's the resistance. It's almost just a worry, like, is this something extra that you're really going to ask teachers to do? And so, like I said before, it's really our challenge or our goal is to make sure that we're communicating about media literacy as something essential, that it's not above and beyond. It's part of what they're already being asked to do. So I've never really, you know, I've never encountered anyone that has resisted the idea that people need to learn to be critical thinkers and effective communicators with media. I think that that is something in general we can all agree on, because as we see our world be more and more saturated with media and with the messages kind of coming at us and what we're consuming and sharing, I think people are starting to really understand the value of it. And it is happening very fast. So we have definitely seen over just the last 5 years a real change in even just the people's reaction, whoever we talk to on media literacy, because it's just becoming more and more important.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see that. Speaking of policy, Alicia Haywood, who's your operations coordinator, had a great question on her Twitter page for, I think the White House has something called Ask the White House Question, and she was asking, how can we make policy, media literacy, a policy priority? And so right now we're in the middle of a presidential campaign. Do you envision, whether statewide or even nationally, like any candidate taking on media literacy as an issue? As part
oh
of
gosh,
the
wouldn't that be so awesome? And you gotta love Alicia for putting that out there. I mean, I would love to see that happen. There's nothing more I would love to see that happen. I think we have to have some really deep conversations about, you know, technology integration versus media literacy. I think that, you know, technology and digital tools are really kind of buzzwords with politicians, in the sense that they want technology in classrooms. And really our challenge is to show them that technology without media literacy is not the most effective it's not very effective, you know, that media literacy has to come with technology. And I think a lot of, you know, I see politicians and I see elected officials even on the local level contributing to schools, donating money for everything from tablets to new whiteboards and all of these things that are great tools. But without the media literacy training to use those tools in a really effective way, then, you know, then it's an issue. So I would say that, you know, yes, I would love if we could get politicians and our leaders to think about this. And but I think it's going to start on the, my instinct is it's going to start on the local level before it starts national. Now, a girl can dream, and certainly this Media Literacy Week has really gone, you know, so beyond, you know, what we imagined. So I think we have some real momentum right now. So who knows? Who knows what we can do as a community? And that's the thing that I find so inspiring is the community that's being built right now of really passionate people that are every day working with kids. And it's really, really inspiring. It's been a really exciting for me to just kind of watch my inbox fill with emails and inquiries from educators all over the country. It's been really, really neat.
I think that's amazing. And I think probably sort of taking advantage of that momentum to sort of sustain it. And I wanted to see if you can highlight some of the activities going on. There are different activities in different states. I know of one going on in Boston. Do you want to highlight any of the work that's going on this week?
Yeah, well, the thing that I find so great about Media Literacy Week and the way it's kind of panned out is that it's very, it really is just like the media literacy community in general. There's so many different ways to have these discussions, whether it's in the classroom or in the community. So it's been really exciting to see how different communities and different educators have kind of taken on the task of, you know, what am I going to do during Media Literacy Week? So, you know, we have, for example, a really interesting webinar, I should say Google Hangout, this evening, and we're going to be talking to industry. We're going to be talking to the folks at Twitter and at Instagram and at Fuel, which is you know, a gaming company, and really talking to them about how they as companies address the issues of respect in a digital world. You know, we hear a lot about digital citizenship. We hear a lot about, you know, how are we educating our kids, but we don't always talk to the industry about what they're doing. So we're having a great Google Hangout tonight on that. We also have, like, panel discussions going on in LA with the Museum of Tolerance and the Center for Media Literacy. We have some in-classroom, like, video storytelling happening in Washington, D.C. We have some of our partners speaking at the Georgia Education Technology Conference today and tomorrow. Gateway Media Literacy Partners, which is located in St. Louis, they've been doing their own Media Literacy Week also for 10 years, and so they have events going on every single day. Norfolk Community Television in Massachusetts is doing tech help sessions for community members where they'll be talking about technology and talking about media literacy basics. And then we have tons of schools that are doing video projects you know, doing screenings in their community. And it's really, really been very, very interesting to see how people are kind of, like I said, answering that question, what should I do during Media Literacy Week? We also have, like, the American Red Cross that reached out to us, and they have some media content that they're sharing during this week. Twitter is involved. Really, you know, the response hasn't just been from educators. So the events that are being developed are, it's really a diverse group because they're not all coming from people in the classroom. So it's been really interesting to watch it develop. And then, of course, there are the Google Hangouts and the webinars and the Twitter chats and all of that happening. And if you have any interest in kind of, if your listeners have any interest in following us, the hashtag is Media Lit Week, which is WK. And it's been really great to see, like, the blog posts and the videos that are being worked on. You mentioned Alicia's PSA that the production company she works with created, really defining what is media literacy. So a lot going on. It's been really fun.
Yeah, which is great. And one of the things I appreciate, and I was surprised to see that there's the virtual ability to participate, because one of the platforms that I'm part of is Second Life, and a lot of time all these events are great, but sometimes you miss out, some population miss out, or some groups miss out because they can't physically go to a location for whatever reason. And so I love that there are ways you can either use your computer or use some other tools to still be part of that, part of Media Literacy Week, without physically going to a different place, or it could be happening in a different state, but we all can still come together.
Yeah, and, well said. That's really very important, because we really do want people all over the country to be involved. And, you know, because this is a real national movement. I mean, to be honest, I would love next year to be able to say there's at least one physical event happening in every state. That would be awesome. I think that would be something that we could really strive for. But I do think it's really important, because if our goal is really to raise the visibility of media literacy, we need the numbers of people. And right now we're still at that point where we're even defining media literacy for so many people. So even if the only thing someone is doing is following the Twitter feed and getting some knowledge about what media literacy is in general, that's a success for us.
Yeah, which is great. And of course, you know, it's not over after this week, because this is a year-round, all year sort of thing. One thing I want to get back to, so for anyone out there, one of the things I've been really, this is might be the year I get involved, is ways people can become members of Namely. And so do you mind talking a little bit about that in terms of the benefits of having a membership through Namely, and how to become a member?
Great. Thank you so much for asking that question. So we are a membership organization. I guess that's an important point I should have made before. So we really do rely on membership dues to help run the organization. And essentially, we have individual members or we have organizational members. And really, the biggest benefit is being a part of the community. And it really is a professional affiliation, you know, that they, you know, people who are teachers who are affiliated with, you know, groups like the National Council for Teachers of English or the National Council of Social Studies Teacher, it's another organization to be affiliated with. The benefit is, truthfully, like the core benefit is that networking. So much of what I do is connecting teachers to teachers and organizations to organizations. So to be able to connect someone doing youth media in Chicago with someone doing youth media in Portland, Oregon, to someone who's doing youth media in New York City is so vital, and it's so important to share resources and share best practices. Our organizational members get a lot of benefit from just promotion, and we do like bulletins every month where we highlight the work of our organizational members. We also highlight the work of our individual members. We give some discount for members, whether it's on some kind of resource that does cost money or some kind of publication. We try to do discounts relatively regularly for our members. And then we also, for our organizational members, we have the ability to make sure that they are promoted on our website. They all have a page. So it's really about building that community and building that network. And what I find is so vital for people doing media literacy is to connect with others that are passionate about it, because oftentimes people feel a little bit alone about their passion with media literacy within their school or within their community. And really connecting with people is really our main objective. We also feel it's very important to us that any resources that we provide are free for everyone. We very much believe in like the open source resource way, and we have a journal for media literacy education. We also have a resource hub on our website, and all of those materials are free to anyone in the media literacy community or beyond. But being a member is really committing to the cause of media literacy and really saying, you know, Namely is something that I want to contribute to, and certainly those funds go directly into things like Media Literacy Week.
That's great. And people can go to namely.net, which is NAMLE.net, for all everything we're talking about. Before we run out of time, I know in the beginning we talked about, a lot of time when we talk about media literacy, we talk about the effects on children and youth. Is there a role for students and those who are not adults to be part of the organization as well and make and be part of that community in terms of really learning, but also teaching their peers about media literacy?
That's such a great question. You're so good. Honestly, we have a lot of people, a lot of graduate students and a lot of undergraduate students that are working within, you know, whether it's a communication school or an education school that are involved with our organization. We do have a student membership rate. We also have a student leadership council, which are those people that are currently in education in some way, whether they're getting their PhD or their graduate degree, and they're part of kind of our leadership structure. And we also have a graduate caucus on Facebook. It's a group that people share ideas and questions and answers. So there are ways, and truthfully, we're always looking for new ideas and new ways to engage people. So there is, you know, you can email us using the website namely.net, and I'm the one that gets those emails. So, you know, if you got, you know, if you have an idea about what, you know, how to engage students differently or how to get different groups involved, please send them my way.
That's great. So I'm hoping people will definitely go to the website. You guys are on Twitter, Facebook.
Yeah. And we're at Media Literacy Ed for Facebook. I mean, for Twitter. And remember, we're hashtag Media Lit Week, WK.
Great. Do you, before the time is up, do you know the date for the 2016 conference?
Yes. So our Media Literacy Week for 2016?
Yeah.
So Media Literacy Week for 2016 will start on October 31st through November 4th. One of the reasons we're doing it that week as opposed to the week after, and this is something that I've already spoken with our Canadian neighbors about, because we really, you know, these dates were chosen by our Canadian neighbors, and we kind of you know, added us to the mix. But we really, it was very important for us to do Media Literacy Week the week prior to the election, as opposed to the week of the election, because we really want to engage communities in very important discussions about the presidential election and about what it means. So we're really excited about the timing for next year.
That's great. So I'm hoping you'll be back on the show again. And other members, I would love to speak with other organizations who are doing different type of work so people can have an idea of how people are truly using media literacy as a tool. So thank you so much for taking the time during this busy, historic week for media literacy to be on the show.
Any
final listeners?
No, I just, you know, let this be the beginning of a much larger conversation, and let us keep pushing and let's take this momentum and take it further. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to share about it.
Thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of Media Literacy Week. So I'm going to close
thank you.
With I Speak Media. So this is the video that Alicia Haywood, featuring Joey Papa. So that's on YouTube, so you guys can go on there and get all the information that you need. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And again, you can check out Namely's website, which is namely.net. And they are also on Twitter, and the handle is at Media Literacy Ed. So tons of information for you guys to follow. Again, thank you for listening, and I'll see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
I'm Joey Papa, and I love media. I'm a media maker, communicator, husband, and father of five. This summer, I learned that we, all of us, should be getting ready for the first ever Media Literacy Week here in the U.S. What is media literacy? I had no idea. When I think of literacy, I think of books, learning how to read, right? Then I learned that media literacy is about reading the media from a critical point of view, understanding that we're living in relationship with media,